it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The BetMGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm an NFL junkie. I think I like the NFL more than my wife. Don't tell her. Don't tell anybody. I love the National Football League.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
The idea that Bo Nix is like regressed all of a sudden, like he doesn't suck. You might not like him, but he doesn't suck. Watch him suck now on Sunday. Does anyone understand the irony of the fact that Travis Kelce, on his podcast, that he does with his brother, is saying, my head wasn't in the game to start on Friday night. Head so far up his rear end, he could smell the pancakes he had for breakfast. Figure it out, 87. Like, come on.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, magnificent football Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide, in your hearts and in your minds, as we bring you the fastest show in all of Wagertainment, talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up on today's show, we will review what we got right betting week two in the National Football League. For me, it'll be a quick conversation. And we'll also go over what we got wrong week number two, betting the National Football League. That might take a little bit more time, at least for me. Thank God for the Atlanta Falcons last night on Sunday Night Football. And we will also detail the Survivor Sweat to end all Survivor Sweats had yesterday by myself, Femi, and Tyler. How about them Cowboys? Never a doubt against my New York Football Giants. All of that coming up next hour on the show. We will also give you our first glance at week three in the National Football League. I have a couple bets that I think will age pretty well. Femi's got a couple bets as well. We'll do that coming up in the final hour of the show. And also in the final hour, in the power hour, all our bets for tonight's Monday Night Football doubleheader. You gotta love it. If you live on the East Coast, especially if you are the dad of a young child like me, yeah, 10 o'clock Eastern kickoff. Love it. Let's just, no sleep. Like, you know the Beastie Boys song, No Sleep Till Brooklyn? This is no sleep until the Chargers and Raiders end. I don't know if that's as catchy as No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Let's see. No sleep till, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. Dun, dun, Chargers, Raiders! Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be locked into the game, and I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow morning when my daughter wakes up. All our bets, side, total, and props for the Texans and the Bucks in Houston. Current side and total market in that game, the Texans holding as 2.5-point home favorites. We may go to 3, we will see. Total sitting 42.5. And the Chargers, 3.5-point road favorites in Vegas. That is juiced towards the Raiders. Total 46.5. We are watching a couple pieces of injury news in both games. For Tampa, left tackle with Tristan Wirfs out. Luke Goedeke, we don't know if he's going to play. We think he will practice Saturday in a limited fashion. We'll find out more, obviously, around 5:30 Eastern when the injury report comes out. For the Raiders, we want to make sure Brock Bowers is going to play. We think he's going to play based on Pete Carroll's comments, but that's not 100% sure. And the LA Chargers adding stud linebacker Diane Henley to their injury report about an hour ago with an illness. Henley listed as questionable. He is an absolute monster in coverage at the linebacker position. And if he doesn't go, and Bowers does, and Myers is obviously going to play, the middle of the field could potentially be open. And even if Bowers doesn't play, you could have Michael Mayer, who was the second-round tight end before the Raiders drafted Bowers in the first round. Both won Mackey Awards in college as the best tight end in college football, where that middle of the field could be open for Geno Smith, Chip Kelly, and the Raiders offense. So all our bets, side total and props, all the latest injury information for Houston and Tampa, the Chargers and the Raiders. Coming up to end today's show. Now, we got about 19 pieces of injury news, like an hour ago, hour and a half ago, that candidly, and I always like to pull back the curtain and tell you, our listeners and viewers, kind of like how you put a show together, our rundown got completely blown up. So, J.J. McCarthy's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. We have the Joe Burrow injury confirmation. Jaden Daniels probably not going to play on Sunday. We'll see about that. His status is in doubt. The Panthers lose some offensive linemen. The Bears lose Jalen Johnson probably for the season. Justin Fields is in concussion protocol. I'm trying to think, am I missing any? I just rattled off like 6 really important pieces of injury news. We will get to all of it this hour on this Monday. But before we get to it, we have to start with the super rematch yesterday in Arrowhead from Super Bowl 59 this past February. And let's call a spade a spade. The game itself was far from super, unless you had the Eagles and the under. I had a bet on the over of the game that was probably dead pretty early in the contest. So if you bet the Chiefs and you bet the over, it was definitely not super. Maybe if you like the Eagles in the game, it was a super Sunday for you. The Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17, now 18-1 in their last 19 games, including postseason. They boa constrictored this game in the fourth quarter, just wrapped themselves around the Kansas City Chiefs and squeezed the life out of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and company in very impressive fashion. The Eagles, now 2-0 in their defense of a Super Bowl championship, and the Kansas City Chiefs, my Kansas City Chiefs, 0-2. And it's the first 3-game losing streak for Patrick Mahomes since his head coach was Cliff Kingsbury, and he played collegiately at Texas Tech. Unbelievable. We'll get to the losers in a few minutes, but I want to start with the winners of yesterday's game, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, as far as how we talk about the Eagles as a football community, whether we are analysts that are paid to talk on television, radio, podcasts, paid to write, or just football fans, it's always been this way locally in the coverage of the Philadelphia Eagles. And like Tyler knows this, he's a lifelong Eagles fan growing up in a part of New Jersey where there are Eagles fans. I go on WIP every Friday with our friends, with Ike and Spike, every single Friday, and I've been doing it for years on WIP. So I know how the Eagles media, and I know how Eagles fans treat their team. But now, we are starting to see the national media treat them this way as well. And this is how you know the Philadelphia Eagles have truly entered that rarefied air where even if you win, you still get criticized. Even if you win games, we still find way to poke holes in everything you do. Kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs last year, who couldn't stop winning in the regular season, and people couldn't stop bitching about the way it happened. It's like soccer, and how ridiculous this is in soccer, where some coaches inside, we're going to get off of soccer in a second, but just listen to the point I'm going to make. Where in soccer, you've got some coaches and some fans who believe that you have to play the beautiful game. And that you'd rather, there are like great soccer players and coaches who are on record saying this, that they would rather lose an entertaining game 4-3 than win a boring game 1-0. yet another reason why the United States is superior to Europe. The Philadelphia Eagles are getting the soccer treatment because they win the game yesterday. They're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, 18-1 in their last 19 games, and all anyone wants to talk about is this offense broken? Can Jalen Hurts get the ball down the field? And perhaps the most pressing question, is Kevin Petullo just Italian Brian Johnson?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember the 2023 Eagles, everybody? Started 5-0, got to 10-1, and then lost 6 of 7, including that wild card stinker on the road in Tampa, where Jalen Hurts looked like he had never seen a blitz before. The offense completely fell apart, and they crashed out early in the postseason. I received multiple text messages yesterday from Eagles fans, from NFL fans, all saying this Eagles offense looks just like it did in 2023 under Brian Johnson. So are the Eagles up against it moving forward this season if this is what the offense is going to look like? What I would say, I don't want to push the panic button on this offense yet. I'm not willing to do that. The Eagles are 2-0. They beat at what worst is a game Cowboys team this year. I think a Cowboys team that will be frisky this season. And they just went on the road and beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I know everyone wants to throw dirt on the Chiefs because they're 0-2. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Arrowhead. They went in there and they got a win. And if you ask me right now, at this moment, best team in the NFC, who represents the NFC in Super Bowl 60, I'm still going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles' first couple games last year were not exactly world beaters. I don't want to blow this out of proportion, what we've seen from the Eagles' offense thus far. But I will say this, because it's important to note and important for us to think about things in these terms, right? We don't want to overreact and say, this is 2023, this is Brian Johnson part two, and the season's going to go that way. But it is worth noting. Think about what Russell Wilson did yesterday for the Giants against this Dallas Cowboys defense. Russell Wilson. Like, not Josh Allen, not Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. 450 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. And I know Deron Bland didn't play, but like, and Deron Bland's a nice player. Like, Deron Bland is not Deion Sanders in his prime or Darrelle Revis. Like, that's not what this is. That's not the reason. The Eagles couldn't do anything passing the ball against the Cowboys in week one. Justin Herbert, Friday night in Brazil, week one, ripped up the Kansas City Chiefs secondary. Ripped them up. 300-plus passing yards in that game and 3 passing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts has 101 passing yards yesterday. And didn't have a long pass down the field until that the drive where they scored the touchdown to go up 20-10, when Hurts did identify the blitz and tossed it up to Devontae Smith, and Devontae Smith comes back to the ball and makes a great play because he's a great player, and that's what great players do. So yes, the Eagles are 2-0, and that's the most important stat. Wins. But I do think there's some cause for concern on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. I don't want to get into the mode, like I said, where this is because what happened last year with the Chiefs was ridiculous. Because after every win, everyone's bitching and moaning about how it's happening. What matters is that it happened. And what matters for the Eagles is that they're 2-0. I do think that this is something to monitor moving forward, though. What's this offense going to look like here with Kevin Petullo coordinating? Can they get the explosives down the field? Nick Sirianni is saying that things will change once they start hitting those explosives. Perhaps it'll start this weekend. Or maybe it won't. Because coming up this Sunday is a rematch of that epic divisional round playoff game from January in the snow as the Philadelphia Eagles host Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and Eagle hater Jared Verse. You want to know if Jared Verse hates the Eagles? Just put a microphone in his face. He'd love to tell you. And the 2-0 Los Angeles Rams. That spread opened last night in the 4-4.5 range with the Eagles favored. The initial move in the betting market towards the underdog Rams. We're now sitting Philly at BetMGM, a 3.5-point home favorite. We'll finalize our bets, obviously, as the week moves along. What I will say is this. The Rams defensive front got after Cam Ward's ass yesterday. The Rams defensive front got after CJ Stroud's ass in week one. Might be a different story going up against the Eagles offensive line this Sunday in Philadelphia. On the other side, we will talk about the 0-2 Chiefs, if they can make the playoffs, and who I blame exclusively for their 0-2 start here on a Monday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.